Good morning, everybody. As was mentioned, we do have several families out of town this morning, but it's good to see everybody here as we've come together to worship our Heavenly Father. Please open your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Matthew 25. And I want us to look for the background of this lesson at the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Matthew 25, in verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." So again, the kingdom of heaven is referring about the church. He's going to tell them a parable about the church, and it's going to be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. "Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And when they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' And he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" So, for a little bit of background on this parable was taught during the last week of Jesus' ministry. Again, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the church, and he's going to get a lesson across to the people that they need to be ready, because he's going to be dying. He's going to be coming back again. They don't know when he's going to be coming back, and they need to be ready. So to understand this parable a little bit more, Jewish marriage feasts were generally celebrated at night. They were celebrated at night. The newly married couple went from the house of the bride in procession after nightfall, accompanied by attendants bearing torches to light the way. So they would start at the house of the bride. They would head to the bridegroom's house. And in this parable, they meet another party as they are going along to go to the feast. When they come to the feast, though, and while they were slumbering, while they were sleeping, their lamps went out. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said, "Give us some of your oil. Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are out. We can't join in this procession and go to this wedding feast." And the wise answered, saying, "No, if we give you some of our oil, then we are not going to have enough, and we aren't going to be able to enter into this feast." And when they get to the bridegroom, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. Who went in? Those that were ready. And then the door was shut. It was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I do not know you. I do not know you." The bridegroom was offended because he had prepared this feast for this wedding ceremony. He had invited people, and they had not made proper preparations where they might come and enter in. So the Bible talks a lot about being ready, about being ready. And I want us to consider some areas where we need to be ready today. The first one I want us to consider, are you ready to hear? James 1:19 says, "So then, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Swift to hear and slow to speak. Are you ready to hear? A lot of times we have that backwards. We're quick to speak and quick to wrath and slow to hear. Well, who do we need to listen to? If we turn back a few chapters in Matthew chapter 17, and we have the account of the transfiguration, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured, he was changed before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And Moses and Elijah appeared to them on this mount, and were talking with him. And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, while Peter was suggesting what to do, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Hear him. We need to be ready to hear Jesus. Jesus is the last person that so many people want to hear today. They want to go to find somebody that will tickle their ears, that will motivate them, make them feel good, make them do whatever, except listen to the words of Jesus. As we've been studying in Hebrews, and it starts off, you know, God at various times and in different ways spoke to the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us through His Son, the most important messenger that has ever come to talk about the will of God. We need to hear Him. Are we ready to hear Him? Why do we need to hear Jesus? Because He has the words of life. Why do we need to hear Jesus? Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and beginning at verse 13. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, they have not heard. Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out from the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." So we need to be ready to hear, because that's how we get faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God without hearing His message, without believing it, and without obeying it. Something so simple, are we ready to hear? Yet so many people are not. How many times do we open our Bible during the week to hear what God has to say to us? Do we take advantage of all the opportunities that we have to come together to study as a group, to hear what God has to say to us? Are you ready to hear Christ? Are you ready to enter the wedding feast? Are you ready to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, you have to be ready to hear Jesus. Well, another area that the Bible talks about being ready in is preaching the gospel. Back in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, "For I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Are you ready to preach the gospel? Paul said that he was. Why was he ready? He said that he was a debtor. He owed it to Christ to share the gospel with others. When Paul wrote to Timothy, the young preacher in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." So just as a side point, this shows when the judgment is going to take place. It's going to be at his appearing. He says in verse 2, "Preach the word. Be ready. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Paul said that he was ready to preach. Paul told Timothy, "You be ready to preach. Be ready in season and out of season." What does that mean? That means when people like to hear it, when they don't like to hear it. Why do you need to be ready to do that? He goes on to say that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People are going to want to stop listening, stop hearing what God says, and they are going to want to listen to men that will tickle their ears, tell them something they want to hear. So Paul tells Timothy, you need to be ready to preach. Christ commanded that the gospel be preached to every creature. Mark 16, 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The message is so important that every person needs to hear it. And again, why does everybody need to hear it? Back to Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." What is necessary to be saved? The gospel. The gospel. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. But first it's got to be preached. 1 Corinthians 1:21. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." So stop and think about this. We've got to be ready to hear what Christ has to say. Once we hear it, we also have to be ready to share it with others, because people aren't going to be saved without this gospel. Christ commands us to share it with the whole world, to be ready to preach it, because it is the power of God to salvation. Now, you stop and think about that. And this word, this Greek word dunamis, is where we get our word dynamite. We understand how powerful dynamite is. But say, for instance, this little clicker that I'm holding up. Say this were a stick of dynamite, and I was holding a stick of dynamite up here. Would anybody in the audience be scared or get excited? Probably not. Probably not. But say I took this stick of dynamite and I reached down here and I took a match or a lighter and I put it up to the fuse. Would you get scared or excited then? You would. Why? Because we understand there's a lot of power in dynamite, but it's not going to do any good until it gets lit, until it gets set on fire. And that's the way it is with the gospel. There's power in the gospel to save our souls, but that power isn't going to do any good until we get a little fire in us, until we ignite the gospel and share it with others. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready? Are you ready to enter the feast? Are you prepared? Are you ready to go to heaven? We have to be ready to preach the gospel, to share the gospel. A third area that we are to be ready is to give an answer. 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you, a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So this brings up the question, are people asking you, why is your life different? Are they asking you, what is the hope that is in you? Why are you different? We must be living a life that is like a light to the world, that people can see that we have something in our life that they ought to have. We have the peace of God. We have security of mind. We have a hope of heaven. And we ought to let people see that, and they should be asking us. So with that, we have to be ready to give an answer. And we need to do that in a kind and loving way. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." And this is interesting here too. This is like a book, a business book on dealing with employees or co-workers or someone else, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We are going to have to treat each person that we talk to differently. If you talk to everybody the same, you aren't going to get the results you need. "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one." And again, this emphasizes the importance of diligent daily Bible study. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, there are people out there that have questions and they are looking for answers. Do they know that you have the answers to the questions they're looking for in life? Do they know? You know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago the person that I'm studying with in Northern Kentucky that we met a couple of times, and then he has been asking me questions by email, sending me questions, and I've been answering him. And they're good questions, and the thought that goes through my mind, I mean, I'm trying to answer him from the Bible and encourage him to ask more and teach him as I do that, but it struck me, there are so many people that have questions out there in their minds. What about this? You know, why don't you have a piano in your church? What do you think about preachers doing this? Can the church do that? Are these people going to be saved? People have all kinds of questions. Do they know that you have the answers? Are you ready to give an answer if somebody asks you? So again, we have to know the Bible. We have to understand it. Now, if somebody wanted me to help them with algebra or geometry or trigonometry, calculus, something like that, they would be in a lot of trouble. Because you cannot teach something you do not know. So when people ask you about the Bible, can you teach them? Can you give them an answer? You cannot teach what you do not know. Friends, we've got to learn this book. Are we ready to go into that feast? Are we ready to go to heaven? Are we one of these wise virgins with their lamps trimmed bright? Or are we one of those foolish virgins that fell asleep along the way and we're going to miss out on heaven? Well, are we ready to die? Are we ready to die? Psalm 88:15 says, I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Now, all of us should be ready to die. That doesn't mean we want to die today, we want to die tomorrow, but we should be ready to die, that we have lived our life in such a way that we do not have anything to fear when this life is over. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 13, then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul was ready to die. He went through so many persecutions and trials and tribulations. And as we've looked at before, he said he was caught between this decision of whether to go on and be with Christ or to stay with the Christians because that was more needful for them. But he was ready to die. And friends, unless Christ comes back first, all of us need to be ready to die. We need to be ready. And I don't mean, do we have a will made? I don't mean, do we have a plot to be buried in? I don't mean, do we have our finances taken care of? Somebody might die this very day from this number. We just don't know. Are you ready to die? Is your soul right? Is your soul right that if you died, that you would step out into eternity into the arms of Jesus? Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Does that mean the judgment is going to happen immediately after we die? No, but in the series of events, we live our life here, death comes, we are escorted by angels to paradise in Hades or to Tartarus. We await that judgment, and we want to be ready for that judgment. How about the return of Jesus? Are you ready for the coming of the Son of Man? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and beginning at verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So when is Christ going to come back? He's going to come back when you least expect it. When you least expect it. He's probably not going to be coming back when you're sitting in an assembly in a church building. He's probably going to be coming back when you're involved in something that may not be what would be pleasing to him. Christ will come again. Jesus told his disciples that in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, the night that he was betrayed, shortly before the cross. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You stop and think about that. Many mansions. There's one there for all of us. Whosoever will can make it to heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Friends, isn't that a comforting promise? It is so comforting if we are ready. If we are ready. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. It says to those who eagerly wait for him. Are you waiting for Jesus? Are you looking for his return? Do you look forward to that? I heard a story. This is an old story from a couple generations ago, about a rich farmer down south. He wasn't too much of a godly man. And when he died, the preacher basically preached him into heaven and was saying, you know, he was a good man and he did this and that and he was a rich man and he's in heaven now. And after that, after the service, one of the farmer's hired hands came up and he said, preacher, did you know this man? And, well, yeah, I knew him. And he said, I don't think he was going to heaven. And he said, why don't you think he was going to heaven? And he said, well, whenever Mr. So-and-so would go somewhere, he would talk about going to that place all the time. When he would talk about going to visit here or talk about going there, or he was going to make a trip, he would talk about that all the time. But preacher, he never talked about going to heaven. How often do we talk about going to heaven? Are we ready to go to heaven? Are we ready for the second coming of the Son of God? 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Friends, the foolish virgins did not enter in because they were not ready. Are we ready? Are you ready to hear? Are you ready to hear God's word? Once you hear it and have obeyed it, are you ready to share that word? Are you ready to preach the gospel? Are you ready to give an answer when people ask you, what is different about your life? Why are you a Christian? What is that hope that you have? Are you ready? Are you ready? Just stop and think for a minute. What if on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, and one of the men stood up and said, what must we do to be saved? And Peter scratched his head and said, I don't know. What if he said that? What if somebody asked you, what do I need to do to be saved? Can you explain to them and what they need to do and why? Are you ready to die? Do you have your life right with God? Are you ready to meet Jesus when he returns? Do you think the bridegroom will welcome you into the feast if you're not ready, if you're not prepared? What did he say that we read? He said, I never knew you. when he shut the door and they wanted to come in, he said, I never knew you. It's like back to the sermon on the Mount. So, do you understand the parable of the 10 virgins? That he's not just telling a story for the sake of telling the story, but he's telling a story about being invited to the wedding feast, being invited by the bridegroom to come to this feast. And the meaning of that is going to be heaven, where we have been invited to come and partake of that. Do you understand that this parable is not just for the people that heard him when he spoke it, but it is for us also? And when we read in 2 Timothy 4 about the judgment of our souls when Christ returns, are you ready for when Jesus returns? Are you ready? Are you ready with the level of readiness? Do you feel comfortable with the level of readiness that we need in these areas? If you know it's not what Christ will accept, don't let Satan keep deceiving you. Make your life right. Come to Christ, obey Him, live for Him. And if we can help you to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.